Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is Cystine Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, Cystine Duckworth.
Welcome, everyone, to the Music Cafe, part of the Living Vertical Radio family. I'm your host, Cystine Duckworth, and I'm happy to be here this week. So our guest today is known for her distinctive vocal quality and genre-bending jazz. Her name is Brenda Nicole Moore, and she is an American-born vocalist, songwriter, composer, and actor. And we are happy to have her on our program today. But before we get into the program, before I introduce you, I'm going to play one of her songs. It's called Return to Sender, and it's from her latest album called Morrow. I might not be saying that Morrow. Okay. We'll ask her when we get her on the program. But anyway, you know, get you some coffee or tea or whatever your favorite beverage is and sit back. It's going to be a great program. And listen to Return to Sender.
All the memories we made. There's no more space, nothing left to explain. Quietly reading words you were feeling, but there's nothing left to say. That we're ending, I won't be receiving you inside my space. Can I return to sender? I won't be
Return to Sender, and it's by Brenda Nicole Moore. It's on her album, Meryl. And since making her debut with her 2011 album, Songbird, she has experimented with musical boundaries, exploring everything from jazz to traditional folk, striving for authentic voice and expression in a melting pot of sound. And you heard a little taste of that in Return to Sender. Now, she has been a professional vocalist since the age of 16 and came to a wider acclaim after releasing her 2015 jazz-influenced EP for Lovers and Believers. She has collaborated with many artists that you may know in the Atlanta area and other places. And so I want to welcome Brenda Nicole Moore to the Music Cafe. Hi, Brenda. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, coming and being on the program. And, you know, I'm excited about having you on here today and talking about you and your music.
Me too. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so before we go any further, is the name to pronounce on your album is Meryl, right?
Meryl.
Like bone marrow. Okay, great. So everybody, yeah. You heard that. You heard me chopping it up, but now you hear it from Brenda, the actual name. But before we get the interview, I have to say this to Brenda because, you know, when I was reading and doing my research on you and I saw that your grandfather who was part of the Esquires?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And
right.
His brother.
And so, mm-hmm. And his brother. Okay. So if you guys don't remember Get On Up, I'm going to tell you, when I hear the song, I see my mom dancing to this song. She had this little dance she used to do, and I was funny because when I was playing the song, I was like, oh, my God, I could still see my mom doing that little dance she used to do. And if you don't remember that song, let me give you a taste of it because I'm sure if you hear it, a lot of us grew up with this song. Play a little bit of that song because I'm going to tell you, my mom had a little two-step for that song when we were little.
Oh, wow.
When they used to have their parties, that was like one of the songs. And so when I saw that was your grandfather, I'm like, oh, my God, I just have to play this. But I was laughing when I was playing it because I saw my mom dancing, okay? So
that's amazing.
Like
that's
to come
so awesome.
From a musical family, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Everyone should remember that song, seriously, because it was popular back in the day. It was very popular. So I'm sure a lot of people remember that song. They remember their parents playing it because it was like, it was a jam, okay, back in the day. It was a jam.
Yeah. It's awesome how music can live on like that and can keep memories going. That's awesome.
I know,
that music
right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it's a conversation that me and my daughter is a music engineer. And my brother's a musician, so we're always talking about, you know, music back in the day versus now. And, you know, and then we're talking, always talking about a few select musicians who still kind of have that type of inspiration. But let me ask you, what is it like to come from a musical family? What is it like?
Oh, it's like a great honor. I mean, it's like they've set up this whole legacy for us to continue on with. And, you know, that you're listening to it and your mom was listening to it, and it's going to continue on and on. So it's just an honor to come from, you know, a musical family like that. I was honored to be able to grow up with them, with my grandfather and his brothers. And so I was always surrounded by it. And when I was little, I used to feel kind of intimidated by it because they were so good. But as I grew up, they, you know, mentored me and took me under their wings. And it's just, an honor, a great thing. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, I know. You know, we grew up in a musical family, and I was saying that it was funny growing up, and I'm sure you had these stories too. We always had one or two people in the family that just had to write a song for every family reunion, and it was just funny. And we used to, you know, we used to make jokes about it, but like some of the people is famous now. we're like, man, we can't joke with you like we used to do, you know. And it's so good that you had great mentors in your family. But when did you know in your own, you know, heart and passion that you really wanted to sing, you really wanted to be an entertainer?
Mm-hmm. I was 12, actually. I got family and I, we moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta. And we moved out to Lithonia, and there was nothing out there, just a dirt road in our little community. And so my mom and I would visit these estate sales, and she would bring me back cassette tapes to listen to, and most of them were jazz, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, the Nina Simone, the classics. And me being in my room, you know, and out on these dirt roads, there's nothing else around there, I kind of delved into the music. And, you know, I grew up around music, but my family, they thought I was going to be a dancer because I'm really tall and thin. So at our, like, family gatherings and stuff, they didn't always pressure me to sing. I didn't even sing for them until I was after 12. They always pressured me to dance. It was not until I was listening to those cassettes where I really fell in love with jazz and was like, I want to do this. It's something I want to do.
And, you know, and listening to your music, I could see or I could hear some of the influences in your music, and such a great way that you weave these different genres into your music. So as, you know, as you came into, you know, the idea that I want to follow music, I'm passionate about music, where did you study or did you study? Did you, or was this something you kind of played around with and then just kind of discovered where you fit?
A little bit of both. I did. So after I discovered that I wanted to do music, my family was all about it. So they put me in literally everything that they could possibly get their hands on, private voice lessons, tutoring, all kinds of stuff. And then I ended up with a girl group where I got a lot of my performance and, like, recording experience from. And then I went to DeKalb School of the Arts here in Atlanta, which is a big arts high school. I ended up leaving high school and just going straight into working, singing background for lots of people. So my degree in school isn't actually in music. It's in arts management. And so I got the business side so that I could be an indie artist. Because when I started doing my own music, it's when indie was just becoming a thing. And I wanted to make sure I knew how to do it. So I got some training professionally and music, and then some of it just mentoring, you know, being around other artists who took me under their wing and taught me.
Okay. Now, being in Atlanta, which is really a very huge arts and cultural place, I feel when I was there, it was kind of something that was just kind of in the air, you know. And there was so much going on, you know, with art and music and a lot of other things. So in that type of environment, was that a great motivating environment for you? Because there's so many places for you to go and listen to music, or actually, I think what I found what was so interesting is that when you're in Atlanta, it's like, you know, any celebrity could be like your next door neighbor or be right there in the club with you. So it was, you know, that's really interesting. So what was it for you? How is it a very motivating place for you since you moved there as a child?
Absolutely. I mean, I love our Atlanta music community, and I've, you know, been a little part of LA's music community, New York music community, and I love those communities too, but ours, we're such a family, and maybe it's a Southern hospitality thing.
Right.
But we're just so welcoming. Everyone is, you know, down for helping another person, collaborating. We're always looking out for each other, and I really was molded by the Atlanta music community. They, all of the kind of like older musicians took me under their arms and taught me. So yeah, it was definitely motivating. And we had like so many amazing indie artists come out of Atlanta. Like, I mean, Indie RE and so many. So when that whole kind of indie movement of soul music was happening, I was just kind of like getting out as a teenager, like underage, singing in background for these people in different clubs around Atlanta. And that was so inspiring to me and a really big motivating factor in why I wanted to put music out independently, which I have worked with labels here and there, but I've seen it done, you know, from the beginning as an indie artist. So that was extremely motivating to see.
Okay, so what was it like producing your first album?
Yeah, so my first record is called Songbird. I put it out in 2011 on my own label, and it was a compilation of songs that I had started recording in high school. And then kind of just, I was like, oh, wow, I have all these songs. And I should probably put them out as a full record. So I think I recorded two or three more, and then that became my first record. And I did all of my own marketing and PR and all that stuff. But because I went to high school, I had to, all of my friends were musicians, so my producer for that record, Songbird, actually produced Indie RE's album as well.
Okay.
His name is Birch, and we just were in his house recording all these songs, and at the same time, he's recording Indie RE. That's how I put out my first record.
That has to be exciting that you're putting out your first record along with NDRE, because then you're like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is actually awesome.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Cause it's like, you would think that people would be, I don't know, intimidated or starstruck or something.
Right.
I have come to know that most all of the artists that I know, are super humble, super sweet, always willing to help. I've been fortunate and lucky to be in a arts community that is very loving and supportive.
What is what kind of challenges, or how did you find the right musicians to accompany you?
You know, I think they just kind of find each other. You know,
uh-huh.
you kind just have an energy or a vibe. I think it's kind of the same as dating, but not,
yeah.
I know it's not a, like a dating relationship, you know, but I feel like there has to be this chemistry. There has to be this connection. And I think, you know,
right.
it, you know, when
yes.
you meet people and you work with them,
mm-hmm.
my piano player and the drummer that I have currently, they've been with me for 11 years now.
Wow.
And that those relationships just started by just going out to jam sessions and meeting other musicians. And then, you know, you work a little bit and then you're like, oh, wow, this feels good. We can write this way.
Right.
It,
yeah.
it works. It clicks. So I
yeah.
kind of think it's,
yeah.
you just find each other.
Mm-hmm. I get exactly what you're saying. And it is like having a relationship where,
yeah.
You just know, like you said, that energy just vibes and you just kind of know. Cause I mean, I know you've had instances, it's kind of like writing a book. When I'm writing a book, it's like the characters start talking to you and it's like, they know more about each other and you're like, oh, okay, that's actually pretty cool. So I get that. I get the same, you know, when it comes to music, I get it when you say that energy and it's kind of like a relationship. So
mm-hmm.
For my listening audience, I want to play another one of Brenda's songs. This one is called The Core, and we're going to talk a little bit about the challenges of writing music and putting music together. So everybody sit back and listen to The Core by Brenda Moore. So Brenda, The Core, what was the inspiration
yeah.
behind it?
That was the last song for the record, and I was trying to feel emotionally what I was trying to get to with the whole point of the record, which is like
mm-hmm.
finding your core, the root of who you are.
Okay.
And I didn't have anything specific in mind outside of what I wanted it to feel like. And so
uh-huh.
I sat, I have a home studio, and I just sat in the home studio and just within 30 minutes made all of these vocal lines. And
uh-huh.
and that was the song. That became the song. And I had a friend of mine who's an amazing percussionist named Colin Agnew.
Mm-hmm.
At the percussion steward after, which is interesting because that means in my, I didn't record it to a click track or anything. It was all very organic. So for a percussionist to come in and there's no click track and he like builds these lush percussion sounds around it,
mm-hmm.
was incredible.
Wow.
So yeah, that whole song is just percussion and vocals.
Well, it's very mellow. It really is. It's very mellow, and
mm-hmm.
I liked it.
So
as being a musician, and you produced your first album, and now you've produced Marrow. I don't know why I can't get that word right. And what were the challenges for you? What are the challenges of producing a song or putting a song together?
Well, two things come to mind. One is just getting all of the financial part and all that side of things together. And the other side is just deciding what to keep and what not to keep.
Right.
It gets hard
right.
when you have so many great musicians that you're working with. You have to kind of whittle it down and be, you know, super focused on what it is that you're trying to say with the music. I wanted this project in particular to be very collaborative. So that was the fun part about it, but also difficult because we had so many good ideas.
Right.
The financial producing side of it, I ended up getting it funded. And this is where my arts management nonprofit background comes in. But I got some grants and dollar for dollar matching to raise the money to do the record instead of doing like crowdfunding, you know, which there's nothing wrong with crowdfunding either. But the way that I structured it was so that anyone who gave to the record, it was a tax write-off for them.
Right.
So that was an interesting part of how I produced this record, which I hadn't done it that way before. And yeah, then just working with all these musicians.
Wow. How difficult was it for you to write, or did you write your own grants or did you hire someone to write grants?
I did it myself.
Okay.
We raised $15,000 for the record itself, and then another $15,000 for touring.
Okay. Okay.
But that's, you know, that's what sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm super sad that I didn't go to school to study music. But then I'm like, but you know what? I have all of these other skills that I think are needed to make an indie artist successful. Because I know so many amazing artists who, you know, are just sitting and waiting until they find the right management or find the right, you know, person who can come and direct them on what to do. But I think what's helped me in my career is that I've been able to have control of it, over it myself, because there is so much that I can do, you know, without a record label or without a management team. Though I do have those now.
Well, I love what you're saying, because this is a conversation I have with a lot of artists. Is, you know, they're waiting for the right moment. Either they're waiting for money, or they're waiting for the right accompaniment, or they're just waiting. And, you know, so it's amazing when I meet artists, I just say, no, they just go and do it. And actually a lot of them are doing very, very well. And for all of you out there listening, Brenda says she did grants. So there's money out there for musicians. And and I say this all the time, that you have to. In fact, I had another guest on the program, and she's from New York, and she's not a musician, she's an artist, but she said, sometime you have to create the money. You know, she said, you know, read and go look for stuff, and sometime you have to create the money. And there's another program that I usually promote, and it's a program here in the U.S. to be a music ambassador. So you don't go through any training, but what they do is they send musicians around the world to different countries. Which is very interesting. So have you traveled out the country to do any concerts or events?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I have had this whole tour planned before the pandemic, but that all got canceled. Part of it has been rescheduled for September, but that is just the U.S. Portion of it. So hopefully I'll get back over to Europe. I don't know, maybe later in the year, or maybe it'll have to be the following spring, but hopefully soon. I did have, with my second record, Brand New Heart, I had a record deal with Keyvine Records in Japan. I have some experience overseas,
Okay. So where do you plan to go? I mean, you've already been to Japan. Are you looking to go to Japan?
So I didn't actually end up going for a tour in Japan. I've been mostly in Europe. But this time around, I'm supposed to be going to Japan if it gets rescheduled, and Europe.
Well,
so hopefully.
I know in Japan, they're going to love it. They're going to love it. I know
Thank
a
you.
Few artists that are in Japan, and I lived over in Europe for 3 years. And one of the things that I love about Europe is that they love music. Okay, so they go out to concerts. They love music. Period. So you should have a great time when everything gets opened up and everything, and you actually go. So, what do you do to relieve the stress of working in the music industry?
I think my whole life is just wrapped around music. So I think when I'm not doing music, I'm just with family and friends. Just trying to, live in the moment in the present of being with my family and friends, So as when you become a full-time artist, which I've been doing this full-time for, I think, 4 years now. I've always been doing music, but none of my other income comes from anywhere else except music has only been the last 4 years. And when it became that way, I thought, it's interesting because I thought it was going to be like, it's been great. It's been awesome. But it also becomes a job. So you have to...
Yeah.
You have to disconnect from it in some kind of way. So the way that I disconnect is just to hang out, I think, with, family, friends. I like going to movies. I do like going out to other concerts, but it even still is hard to disconnect because my brain is always going to working. So
yeah.
I try to do yoga, just sitting in the sun sometimes. I'm also a mom. So my kids keep
me busy.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids do you have?
I just had a baby 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness.
2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Son. And then I have two older daughters that are 11 and 13.
Oh. Okay, so you got some help there.
Yeah. Yes.
You are going to be so busy.
Yes.
So how is it for you as a mom and you're in the music industry? How is it working with, having to work with your 11 and 13 year old? Cause I have a 13 year old granddaughter who thinks that she really is like an older teenager. I'm like, no, you're actually still a kid. How do you balance that, or do you try to balance it?
I do try to balance it. I mean, it's funny because when they were little, they were like all about me performing. They were like, "Oh, this is awesome! My mom's famous." that was their perception of it. But I think. Definitely as they've gotten older, I can't be out on the road for a long time. I think when they're smaller, they miss you. It's different. I think this teenage preteen year, it's very much more hands-on.
Yes.
So the good thing is they are also very artistic and in the arts. My younger daughter sings, and my older daughter does art. And
nice.
So they have been, by default, brought up in the art. So they get it for sure. And my younger one, she definitely is all about it. She wants to do Broadway. Their dad does Broadway, so... She wants to do Broadway.
Oh, gosh, great.
And I say they have an appreciation for art. So that's
oh God, I hope
it.
She. Yeah, I hope she goes for it. I love musicals as well, and I remember, you know, my kids grew up watching every musical I know. They know now. They know all the songs and everything. And they were having a contest one time at the mall, and my son, we came home one day, and my son is like just belting this song from a musical. And I mean, he was like really good. We're like, oh my goodness. And so when he joined this contest, this thing in this program, and we were like, sing that song. He's like, no, because he was like embarrassed that it was a musical song. So he sung a modern song. Yeah, he sung like a famous modern song. We're like, it was like about five other kids sung the same song. So it was just really funny. But he did get into chorus after that. But yeah, it's funny how they love the music, and I just loved it, just really loved it. So now we still tease them after all this time about that song. So. Hear us about it. So what is your next project for you?
Well, I just got a grant from New Music USA to create music for that's friendly for the pandemic. So basically it's going to be kind of like the song you just played, the core. Going to be coming up with things that are very vocal based and drum based, so that can be recreated in a socially distant capacity, or where it would definitely stay without a full band. So I'm using a looper machine, and just kind of playing with vocals and looping in different textures and sounds. That's going to be just like a 5-song project. So that is what's next. I haven't started working on it yet, but that I just got the approval last week, I think, or before that. So I'll start working on that in the next couple weeks, and I'm really looking forward to that, actually. And have it for in September.
Well, it sounds great, because I've actually talked to quite a few people that have found out and started doing things that actually they were able to create during the pandemic, which I think is great, a lot of people had the opportunity to just say, hey, you know, I want to do this, and to either extend what they're doing or at least to bring what they do to other people. So I think that's awesome for you to be getting that done. That's going to be something that I hope I can get a chance to talk to you about it again when you get started.
Yeah, thank you.
And we can talk about how the pandemic didn't stop no show.
Right.
So I have someone that's on the line. I want to find out if they have a question for you. And let's find out if they have a question for you. This is caller. If you're listening to me, I'm only going to say your last 4 numbers of your phone number, which is 9721. Do you have a question for Brenda?
Good evening, Brenda, and to Cousin Celeste. This is KJ. I wanted to thank you all both for joining together. And I am just in awe of the opportunity that you both get to share and do greatness and continue building on just great legacies in both y'all's lives and your families, and just know that the best is still yet to come. It's all about, for me, one of my favorites is Catch Me Falling, as far as songs and music. All of them are wonderful. I just put that on my wake-up calls and just do things from there. And also, if I'm okay to just say, you know, congratulations to Maxwell and keep him encouraging his growth, because he's got a lot of new things that are coming about. So, again, thank you all both for the collaboration and working together and bringing on just greatness. So continue doing the best. And you have your daughters, and Celeste has her granddaughters. And it's all about how they get together and just keep on elevating the best. And know that y'all are just doing the best that y'all have, and that still yet there are greater things to come in both y'all's individual silos. So I will turn that back to y'all, but thank you all very much.
I really appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, cousin. Thank you for supporting us. I really appreciate you.
Oh, y'all are both more than welcome. And I've got more to come, and I have some artists that are doing some great things here in the Charlotte area right now. And I'm going to connect y'all with the next person and a young lady. I'm just giving her name now. It's McKay_15. You'll see her on my web link.
Thank you so much.
Artists, and I like to get her involved with the singing and the music and creating the arts as the music is going about and telling the story. So look out for that
so
next
much.
Project
right.
from between the three of y'all.
Okay, cuz. And give my love to Kim, and you take care.
Take care.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm still listening to you.
All right.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So I know you have some other talents, Brenda. You have some talents in acting and photography. So tell us about your first acting experience.
My first acting experience, I come from theater. So I've been doing theater my whole life. I transitioned to doing film, I guess about maybe 6 years ago or so, 5 or 6 years ago. I've been my film experience have come to me because of music. Music has been like the thing that has helped me break into doing film. So I started off doing like being a singer or a keyboard player or something like that in TV shows like Star and Greenleaf. I did some stand-in work on Being Mary Jane, and I've done, a couple shows like that where I'm like a musician or the singer in a club or something like that, which it
that
was my
is awesome.
Music that brought me there. But my the role that I'm most proud of right now so far to date, hopefully more will come, is the Respect movie, Aretha Franklin's biopic, which is the one that she deemed for Jennifer Hudson to play her. In that movie, I play Brenda. I play Aretha Franklin. Aretha, her background singers her whole life were her sisters, Carolyn, Irma, and her cousin Brenda. And so I play cousin Brenda in the movie.
That's awesome. And that is really
awesome. In August. They kept pushing it because of the pandemic, but they didn't want to do a virtual release. They want it to come out in theaters. So they pushed to August.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll be looking for that. So now tell us about your photography. How'd you get into photography?
I've been doing photography on and off for several years. I went, my master's degree is from SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design. And I started dabbling in photography while I was there and started in film photography. I still have my Rolleiflex camera. And just kind of transitioned from there into doing like more digital photography. So I do offer those services. I do occasional work. I'll do maybe 2 or 3 shoots a month, either arty shoots or families or something like that. And I just do it for fun, honestly. I mean, it is work, but I do it because I just love doing it. It's
capturing. I understand that. So how can people find you?
My website is the best place to just have like all the information in one place, which is BrendaNicoleMoore.com. But I'm also on social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I'm not on Facebook as much, but I try to check all of them. There's so many things to check these days. There's what's Clubhouse is a new one. There's so many new ones that keep coming. So I'm on social media, online. People can pretty much connect with me online anytime.
Okay. And what about any upcoming concerts?
Mm-hmm.
Any in the Atlanta area?
The next kind of public one, I don't want to say a date yet because it hasn't all the way been confirmed. I'm just going to say the fall. I'm doing main stage of Atlanta Jazz Festival.
Wow.
It's my next public Atlanta performance, I think.
Okay.
I think
good for you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't have to for then.
Okay. So what advice would you give any young up-and-coming artist?
I would say so many things. I would say work on building relationships and finding your sound or your voice or whatever that is for you. There's so much music now, and because of the internet, it's so accessible and just so much of it that I think people finding their own voice, their own sound, and what's making them unique is going to be the thing that cuts through. So I would say spend time doing that, and you can do that by going to different jam sessions, studying other people, sitting with just yourself, and in that process, building relationships, because it's those relationships in music or in anything, honestly, that's going to help you get to the next level, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Well, before we end our program tonight, the last song I'm gonna play as we go out tonight is Morrow, and tell us a little bit about this song, Brenda.
So this was the first song that we wrote for the record, and it didn't have a name at first. I wrote it on guitar originally, and I just wanted it to be about finding the core of who you are, being honest about what that thing is inside of you that is your driving force, your purpose, basically.
Okay.
Romero is about finding your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Brenda, it's been awesome to have you on our program. And, you know, you're part of the Vertical family now, so we'll be watching out for you and looking to have you back on. I'd like to have you back on where we can actually have you play some music and people can see you visually. So if you're going into your thing, then we're going to invite you back and actually have you tell us what you've been doing and have you play some music. But it's been great to meet you and talk to you. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our audience before we go?
Just be healthy, be well, be kind, and be loved.
With everything you had going on the last couple of months, I just so appreciate you coming to our program. I appreciate my cousin for introducing us. And definitely let's stay in touch. And thank you so much, Brenda.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
And we're going to play her song, Merrow, as we go out today. Thank you, my viewers and listeners. And, hey, go out and get this album because I didn't play everything, but there's some great sounds on here. You might want to get that first album, too.
Sometimes we find buried inside what's behind our mind. So take a trip, don't try to hide what's inside your mind. Find your marrow.
Thank you to our faithful listeners. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and you have been listening to our host, Ceestine Duckworth. Stay tuned to our next program. Interested in getting your business in front of a worldwide audience? Contact info@verticalmediagroup.com. That's info@verticalmediagroup.com for details. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Books that make you laugh, books that make you scream, books that make you hope, and books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on BooksThatMakeYou.com. Read book reviews, meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love, and enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit BooksThatMakeYou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook.